It seems as when we talked earlier, we have a diverse set of presentations, so I'm sure we'll cover everybody's interest and maybe it'll converge at the end. So there's no moderator to do an overview, so I'll just start, if that's okay. My name's Jason Ormsby, and I'm not the original speaker, but I'm the person who monitored this project that we did for HHS and the Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response under that, which was the Emergency Care Coordination Center. And we developed a tool for them that essentially was we merged hospital emergency department data in the Washington metropolitan area into a near real-time tool for both policymakers and health professionals at a certain level to see who was presenting, how many people, what are they presenting with, et cetera. And I'll go through those variables that we merged in this data effort. This was the first phase. This was a national project under the guidance of ASPR, which was supposed to be in three phases. This was the first phase. And as many of you are probably aware of, federal funding is often diverted. And it was diverted in this case to another project. But the project was very successful, and it was highlighted by the Assistant Secretary, and is still in use in the command center in the Hubert Humphrey building. So it kind of sits in one square of their command screen showing exactly. And they used it for things like State of the Union address and things to see the situational awareness of the emergency departments in the Washington metropolitan area. I am Jason Ormsby, and we are I'm with Atlas Research and also Georgetown University. But we had several partners on this collaboration. It was a true collaboration between Atlas Research. We're a healthcare consulting firm based in Washington, D.C. We're also a service-disabled, veteran-owned small business. But we partnered with a couple of other IT companies, as well as the hospitals that participated in this data merge, and, of course, the Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response. So the tool, again, phase one, actually the funding came out from ASPR. This was the first project, which was to get a merged, actually national tool to merge ED data. And then the next project was nationwide emergency regionalization by metropolitan area. We were very excited about those as well. They actually put out proposals for those emergency regionalization projects, and many people around the nation spent a lot of money, but that funding was diverted as well. So we hope it comes back, but this tool is being used, which was kind of the first salvo. I can do a brief overview of probably many of you, because you're interested in the subject, don't need the overview of where we kind of are in emergency regionalization, and you're going to add a lot from the Maryland perspective about what you're doing. But a regionalized system in this nation and in international on the international setting is a coordinated, it usually involves a command center. It can involve the hospitals in the region, the EDs in the region, and in a lot of cases, a series of satellite urgent care centers. And that kind of philosophy was promoted in the EMS Systems Act of 1973, and it's continued since that time, as well as. Well, in the 80s, a lot of the funding for emergency regionalization efforts were in the form of state block grants, or they were funded by the metropolitan areas themselves or the communities themselves, or the private providers, the hospitals themselves. And as you know, after 9/11, there was a a huge influx of funding, primarily through a bill driven by Senator Frist and others. I'm not sure the exact name of it. I forgot, the Bioterror Response Act, something like that. So a lot of communities received funding from the federal level to set up tools like this, if they could, to organize the emergency care providers in their regional areas and to actually try and develop emergency regionalized systems, again, around the metropolitan area. And from this act, there was a years of Institute of there was an Institute of Medicine committee, and there were years of sessions and discussions and roundtables about the tools that should be developed, the partnerships that should be the federal agencies that should collaborate, and all of this guidance went into the mandate for the Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response, and actually the creation of the Emergency Care Coordination Center, which the moderator, Dr. Handergan, was the head of the Emergency Care Coordination Center, so I'll try to add some of his perspective. So again, from these IOM workshops, these initiatives, the ones that I discussed, which was on one side the first phase that we worked on, which was developing the merged data dashboard, real-world, real-time awareness for policymakers and health professionals. And then the second phase was to actually send out money to metropolitan areas to help them develop their regionalized systems. So what our tool was the assistant secretary called it, wanted to call it the EDSTAT, which is the Emergency Department Statistical, Emergency Department, I always get this wrong, a tactical awareness, situational and tactical awareness tool. And again, it was designed to merge the emergency department information systems, the EDISs. And we first started in the Washington metropolitan area, and probably the hardest thing to do was to get the buy-in from the hospitals within the metropolitan area that the data would not be made public and not be used against them, and it truly was a learning experience where the tool would then go to a regional. It was intended to go to two regions, either the eastern and the western region, and then a national tool. So what the end of the tool was, I'll go through some of the, and I won't bore you with all of the data aggregation, the data cleaning, I'll talk a little bit about that, the artificial intelligence that was used to merge the free text that was present in some of these EDIS systems. We even with the health systems that had multiple hospitals in their systems, the hospitals were also using different EDIS systems, different nomenclature, different coding, and so the mandate from ASPR was that there would be the health professionals and the hospitals would see nothing. There would be no change in the workflow. There would be no additional coding. They would not go back and clarify what was written in free text. It was up to our team, guided by ASPR, to merge, aggregate, synthesize this data. And again, the end tool was, right now, it's less than an hour, so it provides a less than an hour real-time awareness of everything that's going on in the Washington Metropolitan Hospitals, too, and again, used at the Hubert Humphrey Building. So, you know, we started off, it was 24 hours, then 12 hours, then 8 hours, and finally we got it down to less than an hour. In some cases, some of the data is coming in 15-minute increments. And on the end, and I'll show you visualizations of this, the screenshots, but it's a user-friendly dashboard that you can click down into, but there's dials and red and orange and yellow and all the colors you're familiar with. So we'll get into those visualizations. Again, I mentioned that the the EDISs were different. We actually dealt with four different EDIS systems between the hospitals that we merged their data through. But even hospitals, again, using the same EDIS system for some reason, and they were in the same health system, used different coding, different nomenclature, completely different words. And so when we did the merge, we had a technical advisory panel of emergency care experts, which include emergency care docs, coders, health administrators. We had representatives from the facilities that over about a month period, we were able to develop this artificial intelligence to merge the data coming from all of the hospitals. Again, it was a it was the mandate of the assistant secretary that it be a passive data collection, and there be on the healthcare side they see nothing other than the initial month-long to two-month-long period that we interacted with the leaders of the emergency departments to clarify what they meant by certain data elements and to give us an opportunity to merge it. And so this was a completely secure, this happened, and probably unless you're interested to go into the details of how the data was dumped into SQL Server and those type of things, I can, and I'm not the expert at that. We actually had two IT company partners that handled the on one side, the aggregation and artificial intelligence and data cleaning, and on the other side, the visual analytics and 508 compliance and things like that. So, what we had to develop, and this was developed with the emergency department experts, the administrators at the hospital, as well as representatives from ASPR, and the IT partners that we had to actually come up with multiple algorithms and rule books for. We had things called a diagnosis rule book because in different systems, diagnoses were listed as in different ways, and so we had to merge all of that data. What we merged ultimately was about 35,000 raw data variables, and from that came to about, within the dashboard itself that HHS uses, about 108 variables that they could view to determine, to gain a situational awareness of the what was happening in the EDs across the metropolitan region. And I have a let's go into the visual analytics platform. Again, this was a very user-friendly front end, a very user-friendly GUI front end with dials, and it was actually tailored to the needs of the assistant secretary. So even after we developed the tool, the there was two levels of access. So the health professionals at the hospital level could also access the tool, and then there was a another level of access for the assistant secretary in the Hubert Humphrey building, and we changed that view as well because it stays on the big screen in the command center, and we had to alter it for them. But and we did alter the screen for various of the hospital participants as well. And they're still using it and I'll get into a little bit about that, but mainly they're using it to, they didn't necessarily have a tool that was so user-friendly to track their performance within their own ED, but also benchmark themselves against the other hospitals in the metropolitan area. So they didn't have a tool like that. These are some of the variables that were, I don't want to go into all of them, but through this month or 2 month long period where we had, we organized people periodically into a room to determine what was important for them to see. The goal of ASPR was to develop, and again, in total there was about 100 variables that they could view at any one time, and those variables could be split down by, which was very important for situational awareness and tracking and research actually over time. People are actually looking at this for research purposes because it tells you the hour of the day, you know, the time of the day, the period of the week, the month of the year. So you can see trends over time. It allowed some of the hospitals to kind of plan their staffing around these kind of peaks and valleys around days and weeks and months. Yes, good, you're tracking. Thank you. So I'll just go into some of the screenshots from the visual analytics. Again, this was a true dashboard. There was another larger data set, which we called a briefing book, that you could break down for if you wanted to do some type of statistical analysis across the hospitals, across the region. But this would be for the region. You would also have a view for your facility. And the intent was to have this as a an actual regional, then national tool where everyone could look at this, sponsored by ASPR across the nation for a real-time, an hour or less data dump and back into the visual analytics for all of the EDs, if possible, across the nation. And again, the next phase, which was the regionalization phase, was to give them the funding to do this. So we hope that will come back. So as you see, there's groups of the measures that I showed just briefly before. And the actual kind of amber alerts, this is a guide, and this is kind of a de-identified data. There's not going to be hospitals shown on here. But the actual hospitals could set their own alerts, could set their own kind of when they need, when they're in the amber level, and set their own levels for their own dashboards. As well as the patient stats, as well as the sociodemographic stats were not great in the ED data. Unfortunately, in the Washington metropolitan area, the only racial ethnic variable we had was white or African American, which they are improving on with their own EDIS systems. But this was another avenue. We did have age. We did have, again, those two variables for race, ethnicity. But at this time, it was difficult to have any more sociodemographic variables than that, as well as gender. The rest of the variables for race, ethnicity were too low to determine. And we had 508 compliance, where there was a different screen where it wasn't the visual analytics, but it could be the large numbers, and there was a few other things. There was a voice tool that was also linked to this dashboard. So again, the hospitals. We thought it was a great tool. Again, they're still using it. It has been done in other places. If many of you study the international efforts, where cities like Paris is a fantastic city for emergency regionalization in their command center, and they have a tool like this. And ASPR and our company and our partners have been, other cities around the world have reached out for an opportunity to build a tool like this for their own hospital infrastructure. But the partners, actually the hospitals themselves, did gain a lot by participating. Again, after that first month or so, they didn't have to do much heavy lifting after that. But they were indeed able to, gauge their performance in their own EDs, not only benchmarking against other facilities in the region, but also the time variables were extremely important to hospital ED planners to plan their staffing needs. And they were involved in presenting it to the assistant secretary, and they enjoyed that, but then after the funding was diverted. So underneath, in conclusion, underneath the system that the data aggregation, the data synthesis, the data cleaning, the artificial intelligence for the free text that are in these EDIS systems is still in place. It's very scalable, and the dashboards can be altered to be viewed any way that the client wants, in this case the hospital. And if a tool like this was in place, and similar tools like this are in place, there are cities in America that have great systems. San Diego is probably one of the best emergency regionalized system that has their own command center and a tool like this. STARS in the St. Louis metropolitan area has a similar tool somewhat like this. ASPR has this. They own it. So hopefully it can get out into the public domain and be expanded and allow, benchmarking and comparisons and real-time awareness for EMS professionals, hospital planners, policymakers, et cetera. Thank you.